Can you hear me? Hold to God's changing hand. Hold me, saints. Times filled with trance. No moved on, can't stand. Failure, pumping, turn. Hold to God's changing hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. On the eternal, oh, in God's changing hand, not this world's vain riches, that rapidly decay. Can you hear me, saints? Take the mic away. It's echo. Take it away. Can you? Time is with transition. Part of and move can. Palms eternal, hold to unchanging hand, hold to God's changing hand, hold God's unchanging hand, feel your pumping eternal, hold to God's changing hand, trying who would leave you. So if he is made, he perfectly forsaken, still more close to him. Oh, God's hand. And hallelujah, oh, to unchanging hand, oh, to unchanging hand, covered not world fainter, that so rapidly came. See to get heavenly pleasure, oh, they never pass away. Oh yeah, oh, to God and change your hand, God's unchanging hand. Feel your something eternal. To God's unchanging hand. Seeing John was spirit and with the pastor. But
George, your after internet that, is really bad, bro.
Behold, forevermore. I can't answer. John was in spirit. And the words to be heard, voice from heaven, and this is what he said. Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end, behold, I forevermore be. Pastor can pray.
Saints, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day and for your grace and for your mercy at this time, Lord, that you've allowed us to gather once again in your precious name. Father, as we look to you this evening, straight away, Father, with our desire to worship you, we want to pray now, Lord, for this technology. Father, in the name of Jesus, may, Lord, your glory just go through that internet, Lord, and sort this problem out, Lord, we pray, that you may properly enter into worship with you. Father, may you bless Brother George as he leads the songs. May you bless our Brother David as, Lord, your spirit would brood over him before he comes to minister the word unto us, Lord. May you help each and every one of us. Father, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. So be glorified this evening, we pray. Amen. We pray for the requests before us, Lord. We thank you for Sister Anne. Father, how you've taken her safely through her procedure in the hospital. We thank you for that, Lord, this day. Sister Susan traveling tomorrow, may you bless her as well. Father, we're committing ourselves to you now. Let your will be done and be glorified this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Evermore. I hope you can hear me. John was in the area. The Lord's day from him. This is what it's and how and bigger. The beginning, the end, the I live forever. Ever fail.
face to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The cleansing of the blood. Glory be to God. How well I'm living day and night. That holy place of light. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
The saints can hear. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Oh,
tonight. I am delivered by
let's sing that song more like this. Let's sing. Let's sing my sin higher than him. My sins higher than mountain. I know. Do you remember when to find my sins? Where I hid them all. I know. I'm singing glory, sing glory, hallelujah, when fire.
Shalom, saints. Can you hear me, saints? I'm really sorry to stop Brother George there, but the internet is really bad with Brother George. We can't really hear very well. And I think Brother Vlad, he was going to take over, but his computer's taken a bit of time to kick in. So maybe we can hand over straight away to Brother David Nash. Maybe you could lead us in a song or two, Brother David, if you're there. Unfortunately, I think Brother George's internet has really is blocking him quite well. So instead of continuing on, it hasn't been so easy, the song worship with the sound quality. So, Brother David, if you're there, we'd be really pleased if you can help us out. Thank you, brother.
Will the internet back on?
Coming through okay?
Yes, bro.
God bless you, Brother Andrew, and saints out there in Ireland and wherever this is going today. Trust that the Lord's blessing you, and apparently we've made horses angry and struggling there with the song service. Very happy to be with you. We just got back from Central America, a very wonderful trip the last few weeks. A little different than what we had originally intended, but Lord still worked it out. We had a wonderful youth camp up in Talanga, Honduras, and then got to several other churches in that country before we went into Nicaragua, and just continued on there with going church to church there, and wonderful fellowship. The believers had a wonderful time, and they were, I believe they're praying for this service, as we have other folks at home praying for our service. We are in Evening Light Tabernacle in Manning, Louisiana today, and Brother Costner has so joyfully opened up his church for us to speak for you today. So God bless you. And if you would like, let's turn to the scriptures. We'll just get right into it. Before I start, though, I would like to do one thing. Many things, many places in the scripture, when you read the words, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it'll tell you that many of those words are called transitive, which simply means they can be moved from one place to another. We get the words like transportation, transfer, all those things from that concept. And I like to take, this is just a simple bottle of water. I hope you can see it. And to make it transitive, we just move it from one place to another. And so this is how the Word of God is supposed to be. You can move it from the pages to before you. You can move it, but it's really meant to be moved like this. I partook of the water. Now, where did the water go? It's transitive, and we moved it from the bottle into me. And I have become part of the water. The water has become part of me. But there's another thing that you can't see. Even if I shake it, you can hear it, you can see it, you can partake of it in this realm. But when I do this, you might even hear me swallowing if you were close enough, but there's a part that you can't see. And that is, for the human race, we have to have water. It's part of our whole makeup. Everything that we revolves around water. And in that water is life. And so what you can't see is when I drink the water or make the water transitive and it comes into me, imparted to me also by the water is the life behind the water. And that's how the Word of God is supposed to be for us. When we read it, Jesus said, "I give you living waters." When he was with the woman at the well, he said, "You know, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. I'd give you waters of life, waters where you'll never thirst again." And that's because there, even though you can't see it, taste it, hear it, feel it, whatever it is, there is life behind the water. There's life living in the Word of God. And when we partake of it and when we receive it by faith, then the life that's in the water moves off the pages of the book, moves off of, you know, the voice of the preacher, whatever it is. We're just trumpets. We're just the ones that speak the words as ministers across the face of the planet. But the real thing that we have, if we are speaking the Word of God, there is life behind the Word. And that life, as we receive it, moves into us, and the life becomes part of us, and we become part of the life. And that's what the gospel to me is really all about. It's a personal experience with Jesus Christ and having the life of Christ in us, that it can live out to us and reach out to others so that we can share the very life that we receive from him. Personal experience, you must be born again. You have to meet Jesus Christ. A special doctrine won't do it. A special church won't do it. You must be born again. You have to meet Jesus Christ. So if you haven't had that, I pray you'd listen today and open your hearts up to receive him. Another thing, as we get ready to go into the scripture, a lot of times, I'm sure there will be people on there who have not heard from us or heard us of us or anything about us. So I like to start at the beginning. We'll start there. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we're about to approach your word. We ask that you would take the words that are printed in this book that have been magnified and put there through prophets, through ministries, all through time, Lord, but there's a life behind these words. And if you would take the life from these words, speak them through this vessel just now and impart it, Lord, as heart to heart, from your heart to theirs. God, we just ask you, bless this service that brothers have put together and bless the people. Father, it's a blessing even to hear the reading of the word. So, Father, strengthen them, grant them life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis, first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And with your finger still there, that's the easy one to find. Let's go to John, the first chapter. And we find a similar type scripture with a slightly different point of view. Again, this one says, John, first chapter, first verse says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then let's drop down to verse 12, because as we talk about the life that's in the water, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus, may you add your blessing to the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. So as we look at these scriptures and we realize there's no contrary in the scripture. It all runs in perfect continuity with God. And even though sometimes it reads different or looks like, well, maybe there's a contradiction there. When we really get into the Spirit of God, we realize it's not a contradiction at all. But it can either be this word that was given for a certain time, and this one over here was given for another time or another purpose or another people and have different application. Or sometimes it's just a different a way of looking at the same words. Or there's the revealing of Jesus Christ is a continual revealing to the Christian. And if you've been born again, just like our bodies, you know, it starts out with a single cell. And then that single cell becomes two cells, becomes four, becomes 16, so on, as we continue into life. And so is the Word of God that same way. When we receive it, it begins, as Isaiah said in one place, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, that we might grow into the rest. And as we look at this morning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it doesn't really say at that point how he does it. It just says he did it. And until you get down to the third verse where he actually speaks, it says, let there be light, and there was light. So we realize at some point in this beginning of God, there's the thought process of what's going on for creation. And from there, he puts it into words. And from words, it becomes, as we think of it, as manifest. But I want to look at that first verse in particular, because a lot of people I speak with, they think of the beginning was like somewhere in outer space or something. God, there was a beginning, and it was a place or a time or whatever. And God stepped into this place called the beginning, and he creates the heavens and the earth. And it's not that way at all, really, as we begin to look at it, because it says in the beginning, and I know we can flip-flop the words. We just come back from the Spanish-speaking countries, and they already flip-flop it all, so it would read more like God in the beginning, or even created God the heavens and the earth in the beginning. I don't understand exactly how their language moves it around, but if we look at it in God, the beginning, or we look at it, God in the beginning, however you change it around, I think it's important that we realize that the beginning is not a place nor a time or anything like that. What is this beginning that it's talking about? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God was in the beginning. God is the beginning. And so it calls him Elohim in that particular, in this particular verse, which is the self-existent one. So the self-existent one was in the beginning. He is the beginning. It's not a time or a place. It's in God was the beginning. And from that beginning flows out from God. And it creates through that beginning, which is God himself, it begins a creation of heavens and earth. And as we go in there into the second verse, it says, and the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we know that from the message of the hour, Brother Brenham said that God, the Spirit of God, it says on the face of the waters. And he said, what was happening was in God, the beginning, when he had created these things. And we know there was war in heaven, and it was not at the intention of God for the earth to be the way that he found it. When he looks back upon it and the Spirit of God moves upon it, and it's in darkness and void. The Word of God never returns void. And when he sees this earth as in the position that it's in, and it's in darkness and void, then we realize that war in heaven, that Satan had been cast down into the earth, and that Satan had brought darkness and void upon the earth. Perhaps he thought he had created a great victory, and his he can create nothing. He can only pervert what God had already created. But now we find it in void and dark condition. And as the Spirit of God moves over it, from the message of the hour, Brother Branham used the word brooded. The Spirit of God was brooding over the darkness, and it was brooding over the earth. And if you take the word brood and really look at it, so you know, they have the chickens and they brood and those things. What he was actually doing was planting seeds. The seeds for the very bodies that we live in were being planted as the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the earth. And as he was planting this seed and the seed for maybe the trees and the seed for this and the seed for that and the seed for our normal bodies, and he's doing all of these things and he's planting that, we don't plant seeds in the sunshine or in the brightness of the light. You laid a bunch of seeds upon this little pulpit here this morning, I guess afternoon here in Louisiana. They would never sprout. We have to put the seeds into darkness. So God took advantage of the darkness to plant the seeds, because those seeds, because he is the resurrection and the life, the seeds have that resurrection power placed in them by the Spirit of God. And as he broods over it and plants those seeds, then he begins, the next thing he comes back and says is, let there be light. And the Bible said, and there was light. Who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So when he says, let there be light, he is speaking as it were a form of Jesus Christ over these seeds that he's just planted in the darkness, and the light comes upon it. What is it? He is the resurrection and the life. And from that point on in the scripture, we see the resurrection of the earth begin to transpire. As he continues, from that point on, when the light strikes the earth, the heavens begin to take their order. All the planets, everything begins to come into order. And it says an evening and so forth. And there's a morning and a second day and a third day and a fourth day. And each day, the resurrection of whatever he planted now is coming forth, because the light has struck it. And so that we see the plants come forth, the animals, all those things come forth. Finally, we get to the place where it talks about man, still first chapter in the 26th verse, that says, God said, let us make man in our image. And so God says he created them, him, male and female created he them. As we look at that, you know, they're people, they've got all kinds of things going on nowadays, but we are made in the image of God, male and female created he them. And, well, if I go that stream, it's a whole different message. But we are created in God's image. And that image, if you will notice, came forth by words. Because the words now are bringing the seeds to pass. And here he says, okay, here's a seed. We got mankind, seeds for mankind. And when the light strikes that seed, man comes forth in the image in which it was planted, which is Jesus Christ and in his image. But let's go ahead and go down to John, the first chapter, and how that we see a slightly different arrangement. Here it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We just examined how that it says that he made it and doesn't really give a description until he says or speaks words, let there be light. And when those words strike the earth, it begins to manifest the life and the nature of whatever is in that particular seed. And he comes down, he said, and the Word was in the beginning with God. So again, just a slightly different look at how the scriptures come together. It was in the beginning with God. So God was in the beginning. He is the beginning. And it says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know that all things flowed forth from God. He is that beginning. We'll get to that. I keep saying it, but he is the beginning. Okay, and so from him, all things are being made. Heavens, earth, all the things that are in the earth, all those seeds that we talked about, when the light strikes them and they begin to come forth, the resurrection had struck the earth. The earth that was void and in darkness is now being resurrected back to where God saw it before the beginning. And so he comes down and he talks about that. He gets down into the 12th verse where it says that, but as many as received him, to them he, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if we receive him, if we receive the Word of God in the life form that it has, just like we talked about the water, the life that's in water. And as we receive him in the form here, it talks about the Word of God. And as we receive that form, the life that's in that form, if we believe on his name, then we receive life to become the sons of God. And that is that we know that in between that, where we first read there in Genesis and where we are now, there was a fall. Man went back into darkness. Man went into death. They went into all of those things in between there. But now he gives us the power to become the sons of God by receiving him. And you go back up, and who is he? Is the Word of God. So as we receive him, the Word of God, as we receive in the, I believe it's the 8th verse there, it says the light, as we receive that light that rooted, had brooded over the earth, and then the light struck those seeds in that seed. And as we receive that light, as we receive those words, we receive the life of Jesus Christ. And that gives the power for us to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, so we see the purpose of God was to manifest his kingdom and his sons and daughters into this world in a fleshly form. And so he took, if we were to go back to Genesis again, he took that manifestation of being made in God's image. God is a spirit. Them that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. But he wanted his sons and daughters into a fleshly form after he has created them. In that spirit type image, he goes out and puts man in from the dust of the earth. And from the dust of the earth, we have an Adam now in a bodily manifested form. And then when it came to the woman, he didn't go out and find a different piece of dirt. He took the form of the woman who was inside of Adam, the same way that we are inside of Jesus Christ. And he takes that form out of Adam. He doesn't use different dirt. He uses the same dirt, the same man, only separating the spirit from the body and making a body out of the very body that Adam was made of. As we look unto Jesus Christ, we realize we were part of his body. From Brother Branham talking about when Jesus, I believe it was that day on Calvary, And he talked about how when they stuck the spear in the side of Jesus, outflowed blood and water. He said, what was that? It was the bride of Jesus Christ flowing out of the body of Jesus and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. We were in him then. We are in him now. If you have received Jesus Christ by a born-again spirit, you are part of God. We are part of the Word. I might only be the toe in the bottom of, or the sole of the foot or something in the body of Christ, but we are all part of Christ. If you believe, I believe it's in Galatians where it talks about it and says you are all part of the body of Christ if you have received Jesus Christ. And so we read these things, we look at these things, and in the beginning God was, but we haven't really clarified where are you getting this from, Brother David? Where is this coming from? You're talking about God is the beginning. He is the Word. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was in him. So, and those other things. And as we look at those things and we see these things in the scripture, let's turn to 1 John. And here it starts out, it says, that which was from the beginning, 1 John, first chapter, first verse, that which was from the beginning, it came out from the beginning. We have seen, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands and handled of the word of life. For life was manifested and so on. That which was from the beginning, when you look at that word in the Greek, that word is actually a who which we have from the beginning handled, who that we, because of the type of word it is, and it becomes a person that we have from the beginning, that came out from the beginning, which we've heard of, we saw, we handled, we saw with our eyes, and those things. So it's not a something out in the universe. It's a who. And it's Elohim manifesting himself as the beginning. And out from this Elohim as the beginning, he made it to where we could handle it. We could see it. We could, all of those things were manifested. But let's take it one step further. We flip over just a couple of pages there to the Revelation. First chapter. And we drop down and it's talking about Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and it starts out the revelation of Jesus Christ in the first chapter, first verse. So it's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation that Jesus Christ receives, and now he's pouring it out into us. So it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you drop down to the seventh, he says, behold, he comes with clouds, every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, or so be it. But then we get into the eighth verse, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Who's the I am? The same Jehovah that spoke to Moses in the wilderness. Well, Moses said, who should I say sent you? And he said, I am sent you, Moses. So it's the Holy Spirit of God himself. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He is a Holy Spirit. And here he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. It's God in spirit form. This is that beginning. It's, and in that beginning is a personality. God has a personality just like you and I do. We all have, like different things. We like to live different places, like different kinds of food, because each one of us has a personality. God has a personality. There's things he likes, things he doesn't like. And that personality, when it comes forth as the beginning, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, it begins to display the personality of God. What is in this God that's holy, this Holy Spirit? What's in this God that can plant seeds in the darkness and bring forth, as we call it, resurrection? What is it that when Jesus walks to the tomb of Lazarus and Martha runs out to say, tell him and said, you know, Jesus, if you'd have been here, Master, my brother would not have died. What's the first thing that he does to Martha is he prophesies. The words come out of his mouth. He's the beginning. He that beginning lays in him, and he prophesies, your brother shall rise again. Well, she had been taught pretty well by the scribes and Pharisees, and she says, yea, Lord, I know he'll come forth again at the resurrection in the last day. The word always corrects the error. And when she said it was true doctrine, it was true word, but what did it do? It removed the place and the personality of who was on the scene. Brother Brandon, when he talked about the churches, then you know, the denominational doctrines and all those people, he said they always want to put God out in the future, or they always want to put him in the past, and they ignore the God that's happening right now. Friends, he's here right now. He said, if any two or three are gathered in his name, he's here. Jesus Christ is here. We're ministering this word this afternoon to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Physically, we may not be together, but if we are together in the spirit, he's here. He's here right now to do whatsoever thing you ask. He said, ask what you will. You can have it. Because the Spirit of God is on you just now, as the Spirit of the light is moving from these words into your hearts, into your lives, into your families, into what your needs are. He's here. It's not out in the future. It's not in the past. And so he prophesies, your brother will rise again. She gets her his perfect doctrine. There will be a general resurrection at some time. Beautiful doctrine. But the correction to the doctrine for that particular moment in time was, I am the resurrection and life. I am the resurrection. It does not exist just as a something way out there in the future, friends. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. If you don't have him on the inside, you'll never see it on the outside. For those who are believing themselves to be the bride of Jesus Christ. You must have the life on the inside, or you'll not find it on the outside. He said, I am the resurrection. And when we receive the I am, we receive the power to become the sons of God by the word of God and the life that's in the word. Said, he that was dead and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the resurrection. What was the key? You must believe in him. You must have that seed in you to believe, I am the resurrection. And it continues, two little dots, space and time. And he said, I am the life, and he that believeth in me shall never die. And then he says, can you believe it? Do you believe it? There will be, there is a people probably walking on earth right now that will never taste death. Because he said so, if you can believe it. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. You check that word life there, it's Zoe, or eternal life. And so we see there it says that he is the beginning. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. This beginning is not somewhere in time, somewhere in space. It's a person who begins to pour out his life by his word into the seed that he's planted, some for his name and some for other things. Whether it's trees, plants, animals, whatever it is, it's the life behind those seeds. He continues there also in the 11th verse, I am the Alpha, the Omega, again, and he starts into the seven church ages. But then we find once more, before we get away, from the book of Revelations here, in verse 14, we know for those that have studied these things, there's been seven church ages. The last one is called the Laodicean church age, which means the age of people's rights. Everyone feels like they have rights, and it's not just an anomaly of the United States. It's pretty much a worldwide thing. Everyone, well, I have a right to do this. I have a right to do that. What about God's rights? And so there, we'll start with the 14th verse to the angel of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It's talking about Jesus Christ and the beginning. He is God, the beginning or the place in God where God wants to create himself and put it into the manifestations of the realms in which we live. He's the beginning of the creation of God. God pouring himself into creation. We read there in John where it said all things were made by him. It was the manifestation of God in the form of the Spirit that went out over the darkness and over the void. And God was by seed form creating himself and putting himself to where it can manifest in the realms in which we live now. And it says that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God, not God's creation. It was God pouring himself into Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God, all those other things begin to be manifest by the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And yet the Son doesn't come onto place until whatever it is, a few thousand, you know, thousands of years later. And he's called the Son because, you know, the Roman Catholics like to say he's an eternal Son. The Son is not an eternal because the Son had a beginning. Brother Branham correcting that doctrine of the oneness people. He said the Son had a beginning. There was a time and a place where the Son came into manifestation, though in the mind of God before, as we would say, the beginning. Because when Jesus Christ came out from God, even when Adam and Eve walked in the garden, and it the personality of God begins to reflect itself when they had fallen into sin, and says they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. If you go back into the Hebrew, again, it starts to talk about all the different definitions of that word from the voice. And one of the definitions I love, it says it's a bleating, like the sheep. There was a bleating voice went to them in the garden. Perfect grace went to them in the garden with a bleating. Brother Branham runs it out a few thousand years later and said, look at that life on Calvary and how that from that life, Jesus Christ, when he was about to die, he bleated in an unknown tongue, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. And it was the bleating of the lamb. No one knew what he was saying any more than they would know the bleating of a lamb of sacrifice. And so God creating or showing his personality. He shows what he can do for Moses. He shows what he can do for Abraham. He begins to express his personality all through what we call history. We covered it, I think, 2 days ago in Central America, how that when Abraham was about to slay Isaac and God stopped him from doing it. And what do we see in the type and shadow? But the ram caught in the brush behind him. What do we see just before Calvary, the lamb caught in the brush with the crown of thorns? What do we see when Abraham calls the place Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide? And just previous, it runs the same pattern that Jesus did at the grave of Lazarus, because Abraham, as a prophet, had prophesied. His son had said to him, Father, we have the knife, we have the fire, but where is the lamb? Abraham prophesied, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God himself becomes our sacrifice through Jesus Christ. We found the lamb caught in the brush. Abraham says, calls it Jehovah Jireh. God has provided, but there's another meaning to it there, and it's God sees. Simply, God sees. And God saw not just Abraham and what he was looking like he was going to do. God saw all the way into the bottom of Abraham's heart, because the Holy Spirit is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's why God said, Abraham, don't do it. Because God saw it, and God wanted to provide himself a lamb at Calvary. As even though we look just back just prior to that, when it talks about Abraham going to the place where God told him to go. And when it says he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It wasn't for the sacrifice there. It was far off on what we call that hill on Calvary. The scripture is so perfect. So perfect because it's all displaying the personality, the kindness, the grace, all of those things, those I keep using the word personality, but the very nature of God was being displayed in the Word of God. And we see it over and over and over coming down through history until it produces a Jesus Christ on Calvary. But it doesn't stop there. God sees. God has had another manifestation of Jesus Christ through the prophet, through a prophet at the end of this age. People know that. We know that. It was a worldwide anomaly. That gift went around the world 7 times with the ability to see. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was the gift of God that sees into the hearts of the people, that could see visions of this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And even the elections we just had, there was God saw them in 1933 and spoke of them. But there comes a time when that word has to manifest in a certain way. So as we get ready to close thinking about these, if you don't learn don't maybe understand exactly what we're talking about, the beginning in God was Jesus Christ, the beginning. By nature, by form, by spirit, and everywhere that spirit goes through history, we find examples of what we say types and shadows of Jesus Christ. And not just the Jesus Christ of Calvary, because he's the Jesus Christ of today. And not even just to a prophet's ministry from 1933 to, I guess it was 65. That was God providing us another look into the life or into the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. It was manifesting Jesus Christ. And it comes right down to right now. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, if you want Jesus Christ to do or whatever it is, receive him. You must receive him in spirit form. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you, and you receive a promise. You shall receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, your children, and to all that are afar off. A promise from God that can grant you, it says, as many as received him gave you the power of eternal life to become the sons and daughters of God. The beginning, as we started with there, it's the life of God pouring out from God. He is the beginning. All things were made by him, for him, through him, so on. And there's other scripture, like there's 3 different places that mentions that in the Bible. And the beginning is God pouring out himself into what became a fallen world, into fallen mankind, to take us back to become the sons of God that he first saw in his mind before the world began. I love him. I hope this is something that will help you out. Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just give you this service. I love you. I thank you. If I mixed up maybe a little bit, I feel like this afternoon and how we brought this a couple of times before, Lord Jesus, please forgive us. We've been on the road and such and a little tired this afternoon. But Lord, you're not tired. Neither is your hand shortened. But just reach out to the hearts of the believers, Lord. Reach out to those that maybe are unbelievers that just need a touch from you to become those sons and daughters of God. I love you this afternoon. God bless, Lord, these people for listening and for setting up this service. We ask every word be established by you and for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Brother Andrew. Thank you for having us. Brother Jeremy sitting here running our end and his wife there, faithful in the back. My daughter somewhere around this here this afternoon. God bless every one of you and please, if you, I like to tell people every time, if you don't do anything else or learn anything else from what was said today, please fall desperately in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You'll
Amen.
Never go. God bless you.
Amen. 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 God bless you so much, Brother David. That's a wonderful thought. Saints, let's come before the Lord now. He's given us a season as we've heard the word. Now, don't you desire for that same spirit that brooded over the earth in the beginning? When there was darkness, when there was chaos, when there was confusion, Satan had done his work, he had done his best, he had perverted everything. Then the Spirit of the Lord came and started to brood. It started to hover over. And the influence, the atmosphere now, that creative atmosphere, when he himself, the Word himself, the Spirit of God came, he now started to turn things, change things from darkness to light. He started to bring forth things of beauty out of things of chaos. And you may look inside of your life today and you desire that. You know, Brother David said some wonderful things there. He said about Martha as well, Mary and Martha, you know, they were putting things into the future. You may think to yourself today to say, you know, one of these days I really want to serve the Lord. One of these days I really want to overcome. But no, the Word, the Spirit of the Word, the anointing that's upon the Word, the life that's in the Word, even now, if you believe it, even now, like Jesus said to her, even now, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. You don't have to wait for the future. Right now, if you accept him, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God. So whatever the Lord has spoken to you, and I think we should come to a time of prayer now, saints. You know, we did have a disruption on the song worship at the beginning. The Lord has overridden all for his glory. We've heard the word. We've heard about Abraham. We've heard about how he saw far off that the Lord had already seen to the need. The Lord had already seen to what it was that was required. The Lamb was going to come forth. And friends, that's a wonderful thing, Jehovah Jireh. You may need Jehovah Jireh inside of your life now. Whatever situation you might be trying to sort out your papers, trying to sort out complications inside of your life. Let me just say it according to what the word has been said today. The Lord has already seen to it. The Lord has already seen afar off your need. All you need to do is just yield yourself to him now and just trust him in as present tense. And Brother David was showing that he is the beginning. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. You know, right now, if you just allow him into your situation, things will change right now. As soon as the Holy Ghost came and had access, things started to change. And you just allow the Holy Ghost to brood over you. You young people that are struggling with the sins of the flesh, struggling to overcome yourselves. What a blessed thing we just read about. As many as received him, receive him now. To them, he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. Don't try to change yourself. Just accept him and allow him to do his work inside of your life. So much has been said there. So much seed has been sown. Why not let's come before the Lord now? Do we ask Brother Wilmore, let's put on a little bit of music there. Let's come to a time of prayer. Each of us in our homes, let's kneel down with our families. Let's pray for Brother David. The Lord renew his strength. We really pray the Lord will bless him for the word that has gone forth. And this is pray, whatever the needs that you have or whatever the Lord's laying upon your heart now, praying for others, whatsoever it would be. Let's come before the Lord for a season of prayer, saints, and then we'll hand over to Brother George. Let's have a little bit of worship before we had finish off. Thank you to Brother David. It was a blessing. So glad to see Brother Alex Ukeni. God bless you and the saints. We'll ask Brother Alex to close for us in a word of prayer at the end. But let's have a time of prayer, saints, and may the Lord bless you as you pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, saints. Let's hand over to Brother George to lead us in a couple of songs of worship. And I think, Brother Alex, I think I can see you there, brother. God bless you richly, your family and the saints there. Let's then hand over to Brother Alex after Brother George has led us. And maybe, Brother Alex, you could greet the saints and close for us in a word of prayer, if you would. And thank you, Brother David. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you also to the brother who you're using his church. Greetings to the saints there. God bless them as well. And let's get into worship, saints, and we hand over to Brother Alex.
My boat of life sails in troubled seas. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, oh, but I have a friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale. I know the master of the wind. I know my blessed Jesus. I know the maker of the wind. He can calm a storm and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Master of the wind, I know the master of the wind. I know Jesus, I know the maker of the wind. He can calm a storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar, sometimes I soar like an eagle through the heights above the peaks. My soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It brings me low, but never brings me down. Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know my blessed Jesus. I know the maker of the wind. He can calm a storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of. Oh, Eloi, Elohim. How we long, Lord, to worship you, Lord.
worship you, Lord. Jesus is holding me. Something is holding me. Something keeps on. Oh, every day I see. He's helping me to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly. For Jesus is all in me. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me.
Brother Alex, if you would pray for us, and Brother George, if you could lead us in one more to close off. Thanks, bro. George, let's sing one as you wait for Brother Alex.
Saint Omar, how does it go? Amen. We sent off my heart.
You are the center of my heart. Today I make a brand new start. Oh Lord, you said you'd meet me there, that place, the secret hidden place. Against us, prevail.
Hallelujah!
Oh, we'll stay in the center of His will. Oh, right there in God's perfect place. You are, you are, you are.
center of. You are the center, Jesus. Oh, today I make a brand new start. You said, Lord, you said, you need me there. That place, the seed, but need and pray. Altar of sacrifice, I want to die in your presence, in your presence. I will surely prevail. Oh, prevail. Oh, crucified with Christ. You are the center of my. You are the center, you, my Lord. Today, I make a brand new start. Oh, you said, Lord, you said, you'd need me there. That place, the secret hidden prayer.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you can hear me. Oh, God be praised. I'm sorry, yes, my equipment did not work as I wanted it to, but God bless you richly. I really appreciate one and all. I appreciate Brother David, Brother Andrew, Marius for putting this program together for all of us, for young and old. We are young people. I'm also a young person, so we want to pray especially for our young people. We are all young, all of us. Caleb was 80-something years, and he said, I'm still strong to go out to war. I'm still strong. He counted himself as one of the young people. So we really want to appreciate Brother David. It's a blessing to know that the seed was there in the ground. God made it dark so he can put the seed there. And then the resurrection power brooded over it and brought it to life. And that means no matter your situation, no matter where you are, no matter how down things are for you, maybe a young person, you've been caught in this web, but God is still brooding over you. He has not given up on you, and he will not give up on you. So God bless you richly, Brother David. God bless you, Brother Marius. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, you have blessed us tremendously. Lord, you've rectified even the instrument. Brother George seemed like he saved the best for the last. Lord, everything, all things work together for good. Lord, we thank you for Brother David, Lord, and for those words of life. For these words are words of eternal life. These words brood over us and bring forth life in us. Father, we pray especially for our young ones. Lord, we know it's Satan's Eden. We know the pressure they go through. We know schools and different things and a terrible, horrible time. Your prophet said they will get more wicked and more wicked. The scripture says gross darkness. in this Satan's Eden, great darkness upon the people. But Lord, it was in this darkness, in that darkness, that dark time, you said that there be lights. So as our brother preached, Lord, in this gross darkness, you have seats there, Lord, and you want to manifest us even in this Satan's Eden. Just as when you had that Eden and Satan came and did what he did to the serpent. Lord, even in this Satan's Eden, you are here to reverse that situation. Father, and we are the ones here, the young, the old, all of us, to stand in this time, in this end time, to baffle Satan when he thought he's got everything wrapped up. But there comes forth a chosen people, a chosen generation, the last voice for the last age. Father, we are so thankful today. Lord, words cannot express the privilege we feel you've given us to choose us for today, for this end time, to manifest your word for this day. Lord, the message you give to your prophet, there has to be a manifestation. There has to be a people that will follow that message to manifest what he said. And Lord, we believe we are part of those people. Father, we thank you for all the young ones, Lord, whether they are in Dublin, in Wolverhampton, wherever they be. Lord, in England, Africa, on YouTube, wherever. Lord, may you bless each one. May they recognize, Lord, you've called them for a purpose, and that purpose must be fulfilled. May they recognize and acknowledge, Lord, that if they find a time, just take away every other thing, take away all these distractions, and find a time by their bedside and call upon you, you will hear. You will start, kickstart a life, a love life in their life, that they will love you and love you tremendously, and that will only grow further and further and further. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We pray, Father, that you bless Brother David, bless Brother Andrew Marias, bless each one for all the arrangements they've made for these meetings, and may it produce fruits. We ask it all in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Alex. God bless you richly, Brother George. Can you lead us, please, in one more song? God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful evening. Amen. To the saints across in the States, may the Lord bless you the remainder of your day, renew your strength. God bless the saints in Wolverhampton. And may the Lord continue with us tomorrow evening, Brother Tim O'Shong. Let's keep it in prayer, saints, and God bless you.
I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Lord Jesus above. Trusting confiding in his great love. From all I'm saved, in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and full of alarm. I cannot today what tomorrow will bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worries in Him. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding. Hiding in his great love. From all I'm saved, in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and full of alarm. Oh, though tempests may blow and storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on my. Hallelujah! Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all I'm saved, sheltering arm, living by faith and full of alarm.
that he saved me. Carry me through, no matter what evil betides. Why should I be cabled? Tempest may blow if Jesus was close to my... Amen! Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved, in sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and full of words.